What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meaney hanging out with you, not riding solo. We do have MLB The Dream dropping by here in a few moments. Of course, he is from FTNBets.com. Looking forward to our conversation. A super, super sharp dude. We had him on the show once before, and he nailed a bunch of picks, so we had to have him back on here. We're going to break down the MLB slate. There are like a good half a dozen games. I don't even know if they're going to go. Like, there's some crazy weather happening all over Major League Baseball, but we're going to dive into a couple games. We're going to see, take a look at the battle of the colored socks between Boston and Chicago, and MLB Dream has a couple picks that he does like here today. So we're going to hit on all the sports. I'm going to touch on Prize Picks today. I have a couple NHL shot props from Prize Picks, as well as a couple MLB props. Of course, you can mix and match across all the sports that you love over at Prize Picks, and they offer them all. I kind of got away from Prize Picks over the past couple of weeks, but there really are some massive edges over at prizepicks.com. We have a free Prize Picks pick tracker over at ftndaily.com. If you use the promo code FTN, they'll match your first deposit 100% all the way up to $100. And one of the best things I like about Prize Picks, and a lot of people come in here and they want to parlay like the 18 shot props that I have for you guys. Round robins is something that we've talked about. But over at Prize Picks, you don't have to go perfect. You can go 2 for 3, 3 for 4, 4 for 5, and still earn a bit of a profit, which is something that I really do like over at Prize Picks. So I have a couple plays. We have a link inside the description of this video if you're watching on YouTube, where it'll bring you right over to prizepicks.com. But the promo code for you is FTN. Of course, I do have a lot of NHL shot props and point props here today. We'll dive into the four games that are happening this evening as the series shifts, right? Now we're in Boston here tonight for game three between the Hurricanes and the Bruins. We will also talk about the other matchups on the board this evening. Don't need to really get into last night. Oh, wow. Tino Rodriguez in the house. What is going on? I actually thought that you would potentially show up today, or that we would have to call you in after that big comeback from the Mets last night. Dude is probably on cloud nine here. I know we'd be talking a lot more about the New York Mets on this show if Tino was still a part of it. We wish you all the best, Tino, and a shout out. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with us here this morning. Dude, the Mets are rolling. They are looking really good. I think I saw a stat the other day, the first time ever that both New York teams leading their respective divisions and both LA teams leading their respective divisions coast to coast, right? You and I, buddy. Angels and Mets. We're here for a World Series matchup between those two teams. But I think the Mets certainly are well on their way. Yeah, those that are hanging out live here on our FTN YouTube page, smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there in the chat. But if you're watching the replay of Mean Streets, you can certainly leave them in the comment section. I always circle back before puck drop, before tip-off in the NBA. We do have two games in the association tonight, as again, the series shifting from Phoenix to Dallas. The Suns up 2-0, and then Miami and Philadelphia going to go at it. I gave this little mini rant yesterday about the extra days off for some of these teams in the association, where in the NHL, they just get right back at it. There's no 2 days off in the NHL, and that's a physical sport. The NBA, what's the deal? The Warriors and the Grizzlies, I guess that's the marquee matchup, and the Bucks and the Celtics, but these guys have another day off here today. Like, it's like 3 days off in between, you know, switching from Memphis to Golden State and, you know, Boston to Milwaukee. I don't know what that's all about, but we will talk a little bit about the mostly the Mavs and the Suns. I have a same game parlay for you a little bit later on in the show. And of course, I got some NHL shot props and some point props. Yesterday was pretty good. You know, well, it started off really good. There was I think we were up like 12 or 13 units on the ice before the Colorado game happened. Washington and Florida kind of went how I thought it would go. Florida bounced back after losing game one, but the Capitals really did outplay them again at 5-5. There was a moment in that game where the shots were 22-23-12 in favor of Washington, and Florida had 3 or 4 goals. So they were able to find the back of the net like they do, right? They're the team that led the NHL in goals, dominant at home ice. So they found a way to get it done. Bennett was no good to us yesterday. It's 0-2, so that's my bad. Maybe we need to shy away from Sam Bennett, but we did get Huberto. We did get Barkov for shot props. We thought the Panthers would roll on home ice, and they did. And we talked a lot about Alexander Barkov over at Dangle Bet Selly, which you can catch at Game Plus Network as well, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 Eastern. And as well, live on our FTN YouTube page at 10 Eastern. Again, you're watching Mean Streets on Game Plus. You know about the fantastic lineup over at Game Plus Network. Fantasy Footballers, Pat Mayo Experience, All in Football, Dango Batselli added to that list. And I absolutely am thrilled that it is part of the great lineup over at Game Plus Network. So the Washington and Florida series, or that game two, went exactly like I thought. Pittsburgh and New York went exactly like we thought as well. The Rangers bounced back. We had Andrew Kopp again for a point. Basically even money for Kopp, who has got, I think, 21 points now in 18 or 19 games with the Rangers since he was acquired from the Winnipeg Jets at the trade deadline. He's been a point-per-game guy. Let's continue to hammer him. If books are going to give us even money, won't be with you guys tomorrow, but that's something I'm going to look at when the series shifts to Pennsylvania. Penguins on home ice against the Rangers. But the Rangers rolled. We had Crosby shot prop. We also had Adam Fox plus money for a shot prop, as well as Brian Rust. So that went how I thought it would. And then the rest of the games did not. So we were looking pretty good until the late night action happened. Colorado found a way to get by Nashville. And I was expecting a whole lot more, especially Nathan MacKinnon, first shot of the game. He found the back of the net. We didn't get his assist prop. We didn't get his 2-point prop. We had a lot of assist props last night. Gabriel Landeskog, mentioned MacKinnon, Cale Makar. I think Mikko Rantanen was in there as well. Didn't get any of that. Man, Ingram stole the show. This guy was phenomenal last night for the Nashville Predators. Maybe they have something. I know that if UC Saros is 80%, 85% ready to rock for Game 3 at Bridgestone Arena, they're probably going to roll him out. But Ingram has been fantastic. The Avs threw a ton of rubber at him last night, and he made highlight reel save after highlight reel save, especially in the third period. I think the process was fine. We didn't get Avs puck line. I do expect Nashville to win one game. Maybe it is game three on home ice, especially if Saros does come back, or maybe game four. Maybe Colorado will pump, you know, just ease off a little bit if they're up 3-0. But I still thought that the Avs dominated play last night. How about Cale Makar? I had to take a triple look at it this morning. He had 23 shot attempts last night. 23 shot attempts, 12 shots on goal for a defenseman. That is absolutely ridiculous. We talked about riding defensemen for shot props. Roman Josi plus money hit last night, 3.5. If you were in on Cale Makar, I was not. You would have had that easily last night. And Nathan MacKinnon cleared his 4.5 pretty easily as well. I think, you know, moving forward, Makar and Josi, these guys are going to play well over 23, 24 minutes a night, and they're controlling a lot of play. They're smooth skaters. They can start from their own end and carry the play offensively as well, and they do really like to shoot the puck. And Cale Makar passed it off 3 or 4 times. He probably could have ended up with 30 shot attempts last night. And to put that into perspective, the Dallas Stars had 16 shots in Game 1 and 23 shots in Game 2, but they found a way to win last night at the Saddle Dome. And they won 2-0, and all of a sudden through two games, and we were on the under there, we didn't have to sweat that one out, but we did expect, I certainly expected Calgary to roll in that game and did not get it. So now we're looking, after two games, the series is tied, and there's only been 2 goals scored on goalies, and the other goal, the third one, was an empty netter from the Stars last night. So all of a sudden, the Flames can't score any goals. We know about Dallas and the struggles that they have offensively, but through two games, Dallas has outscored them now 2-1. So we'll keep an eye on that series, but we'll follow trends when it comes to Dallas and Calgary. The under is something that you want to smash. So overall, I think, you know, it was an okay day. Like, if we broke even, I think we're up a couple units, but man, it could have been a whole lot better. A shout out to Ingram, a phenomenal performance last night for the Preds in between the pipes against the Colorado Avalanche. Oh yeah, before we break, we're about 9 minutes in. I wanted to break slightly earlier. We do have MLB Dream hanging by here. I wanted to give some love to Jeff Ratcliffe. Again, man, this guy's doing things left, right, and center. We talked about his rookie scouting guide a couple days ago, that is live if you're looking for the updated version over at ftnfantasy.com. But also, he follows the Kentucky Derby. It is the 148th running of the Kentucky Derby happening tomorrow. And we're into this stretch. I know absolutely nothing. Nothing, so I can't give you guys any advice. But I know from knowing Jeff for the past few years and having him over at Anthem Sports Entertainment back in the day, actually, to give me a couple Kentucky Derby plays. This guy's super sharp when it comes to calling plays here at the Derby. He has a free article over at ftnbets.com, how to bet the 2022 Kentucky Derby, best bets with Jeff Ratcliffe. He made a ton of money last year. I know a lot of people made a ton of money last year following his advice. And again, I know nothing, so I can't give you anything, but I was rolling through some of the names. Summer is Tomorrow, kind of like that name. Happy Jack, definitely dig that one. And Messier, I just feel like he's named after Mark. Has to be named after Mark Messier. I'm almost certain of it. I should have hit up Jeff this morning to see if that was actually the case. And I'm pretty sure, like 99% sure it is. And so because this horse is named Messier, that's going to be my guy here this weekend, tomorrow. But check it out. It's free. I'll actually post the link inside the description of this video so you don't have to go searching for it. But if you check out ftmbets.com, it is right there, front page, for you to see. All right, we'll take a quick break and we will bring in MLB Dream. We have a couple picks around the diamond. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network and our FTN YouTube page as we bring in MLB Dream at MLB Dream on the Twitter machine of FTN. What's going on, my man? How are you? Rocking an absolutely amazing tee. I love that.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me on. And I've been tailing your NHL stuff, man. Keep killing it on the ice.
I appreciate you, man. Nice. Hopefully you got in on the early night action and not the late night action and give all that money back. I know George was like, wow, we started off strong. Stefano, too, started off really strong. And at the end of the night, it's like, yeah, you know, we kind of broke even. So, I mean, it could have been worse. And right back at you, dude. I've been tailing some of your MLB picks, and you've been absolutely crushing it. Before we get into what you like tonight, since Tino is in the house and he's talking about the 7 runs in the ninth with four with 2 outs last night, big comeback for the New York Mets, I kind of want to just – you know, put you on the spot a little bit when it comes to some of these teams that are leading their respective divisions. So you have the Mets at 19-9 in the NL East. You have the Brewers at 18-8 in the NL Central. The Dodgers are rolling at 16-7. The Padres are just half a game back. The Rockies have been pretty surprising. You have 4 teams inside the NL West that are over 500, and the Diamondbacks are actually at 500. So some surprising performances early on from those squads. Over in the American League, we have the Yankees at 18-7, the Twins in the Central at 15-11, and the Halos, the Angels at 17-10, the AL West, which is really new for me as a Halos guy to see this team in May leading the division. I think they had a stat the other day. Matty V. Vaskirzin on the broadcast was talking about it was the first time at that point of the season where the Halos were first in the division since like 1978 or something. Jesus. Ridiculous like that. Meanie's first place Brewers, right? Starting to heat up a little bit, Tino, offensively. I know I just threw a lot at you, but all those teams that are leading the division, is there any that you feel like just are overachieving, or like, do you feel like maybe in a month's time they actually won't be leading the division? And it's okay if you want to see the Angels. I would get that.
Well, let's start in the National League. Actually, those are the 3 teams that I had picked to win the division there. I had the Brewers. Nice. I think I actually gave out that future on FTN. The Mets, you know, might surprise some folks, but their roster is just so talented, especially their pitching staff. I had them as well. I'm a little surprised that, obviously, I think most people are with the Rockies in the West. I assume they'll fall off at some point. Chad Kuhl has been great so far for them this year. I'm sure Frank and all the rest of the Pirates fans are pretty devastated because he looked horrible with Pittsburgh for all those years. So it is, I guess, surprising as well to see the Padres doing so well without Tatis. I'm sure when he comes back, that'll be a big boost. But, yeah, that division was always supposed to be kind of, the West version of the AL East with those 3 teams kind of being great. So, I mean, I'm expecting all three of those teams in the NL West to make the playoffs. Moving over to the American League, I'm not surprised by the Yankees being in first. I did have the Rays winning that division, and I think, you know, they've gone off to somewhat of a slow start again this year, but I do expect them to kind of put it together. They've had some injuries. So I do expect the Rays to come out in the East. And the Twins, man, I think I did a power rankings before last year, and I want to say I definitely had them top 10, I think 6th or 7th. So I was really burned by them last year, lost a bunch of money on them early on. I was a little hesitant to put them up there against this season, but they've been amazing. Paddock, the acquisition from the Padres, has been really good. He's added a third pitch, so he looks really good. I mean, the White Sox have battled a bunch of injuries. Rotation's been kind of sluggish, but we'll see when they get Lynn back, and, you know, Giolito missed a couple starts as well. I think that'll be a pretty tight race between the White Sox and the Twins. And I'm sorry, but yeah.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, bro.
I don't think the Angels will keep this up. I mean, the Astros have gotten off to a slow start, but we've seen them kind of put it together over the last few games.
Yeah.
I'm just a little curious. I just don't know if the Angels will have the pitching to last the entire season. And, you know, the Astros are pretty deep in the rotation. They just moved Christian Javier, who would be starting for the majority of teams in this league. They moved him from the bullpen back into the rotation. I know a lot of people don't like Odorizzi, but I think I like him more than most. I think he's a solid fourth or fifth pitcher. So yeah, I do think that the Astros will eventually find a way to take over the first place over the Angels there.
I agree. And they have come around a little bit. They've won 8 of their last 10. And yeah, I love Javier. I think he's an absolute stud. I think the it's all about health, and it always has been with the Angels. And the offense is, over the past few years, it's been great. It's been, you know, at least in the top 10. And this year they're cooking on offense, you know, getting some, you know, a lot of home runs, but it is about the pitching. Can Syndergaard stay healthy? And I think what I've noticed from him, I mean, he's pitching more to contact this year. He's keeping the ball on the ground a bit, so the strikeouts aren't certainly there. But man, if they can, and I feel like they will stay with a six-man rotation, I think that kind of helps him, and I think it helps Ohtani long-term too. So maybe they can keep those guys healthy. And I feel like the bullpen has improved a little bit, although they have they definitely have had their moments where they've given up some bombs. But in my convoy in the house, Taylor Ward has been, he's been unbelievable, a big surprise in how good he's been, and able to kind of send down Joe Adell, maybe work on some of his defense and play discipline at the plate because of Ward. But I feel like this team, if they are in the running, dude, for a playoff spot, I feel like they'll add a pitcher. I don't know who that pitcher would be. I don't know if they'll trade Adell as a prospect, but I feel like Luis Castillo comes to mind because the Reds have, what, 3 wins? Like, and it's just like, they'll probably just ship off whatever they have, right, at the deadline. I mean, they've already shipped off everything they have, man, but I would imagine Castillo is, are we pretty confident saying that they're 3-22, dude?
I mean, not only are they 3-22, I think I tweeted yesterday that they're on pace to win 39 games, and that's on their run line this year. So they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, obviously, probably the worst. And I do see the Angels, you know, if they're in it, yes, they should make a move. We've seen them spend this year. On the flip side, something that I've also thought about, you're not going to like this at all. If they do find themselves out of the race and, you know, they go on a decent losing streak, they probably should look into trading Ohtani. I want to say he has a team option for next year, or does, I don't know if it's a team or player option, but I mean, with 1 year left and he's only making like 4 or 5 million, whatever it is, it's really cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get a huge haul back for him. So yeah, I mean, I agree. If they're still in it, they should definitely make a move. And if they're out of it, I mean, I would sell Ohtani as well.
Oh man, you just made me sad for a second. All right, we're getting away. We're getting away from all that Halo talk. No more of that stuff. Speaking of the Orioles, and we'll get into the Red Sox, there's a nice back and forth going right now. At least Michael Wacha is having a career year, George. Michael Wacha, Cy Young Michael Wacha. Man, dude was pitching fast the other day against the Angels. I don't know if, like, maybe that's working for him, just like quick pitches, but I was pretty surprised with how quick he was working the other day. Looking like Michael Wacha of old when he broke onto the scene with the Cards. But I want to ask you about Baltimore, and then we can transition into George's Red Sox, because they're both 10-16 here on the season, but the Orioles pitching has been decent. Can I say that? It's been here and there. There's been some moments, but man, different park factors at Camden. What have you noticed so far this season about the balls are not flying out at Camden like they used to.
Right. I mean, they're not flying out of anywhere, but especially, yeah. I mean, you look at balls off the bat at Camden, you're like, all right, that one's going 10 rows deep and it's barely making the warning track. They move the fences 27 feet back in left field, and they also raise them to 13 feet. So according to park factors now, it's the 6th most difficult park to homer in. And they did this to kind of try to attract more free agent pitchers. And also, people might not realize this, but they're actually pretty good at developing pitchers in the minors now, like whoever that they acquire through trades, we've seen them increase their K percentage and just generally become better pitchers. So I think they have a couple top prospects that should be coming up at some point this year. So I think they ideally want to make it more of a neutral park, but it's been such an extreme pitcher's park at this point. But we'll see if it kind of changes and becomes a little bit more neutral as the weather warms up. I mean, you look at Jordan Lyles, who's pitching for them today. His big issue his entire career has been the long ball.
Homers.
Yeah, I think he has a FIP of just over 3 in Baltimore. I'm only talking about 11 innings, but he hasn't given up a home run yet there. So I think they're just hoping to play more 2-3, 2-1 games instead of those 10-5, 10-7 games we normally see in the AL East.
Has that changed your strategy at all when it comes to the Orioles? Because I think a lot of people just assume, like in DFS, oh, Baltimore's at home. Like, they obviously have some guys that have a lot of pop in their lineup. Mountcastle the other day, I went deep to center. Like, I love that guy. Mullins is really good. Trey Mancini was in the lineup. They certainly do have some power, but I think most people I mean, myself included, you know, covering the sport for years, and you as well, like DFS, I'd look at Camden, oh, Baltimore's at home, maybe I can take a couple Baltimore bats, or opposing batters against, you know, the staff and then the bullpen that comes in that has struggled over the past couple of years. Are you now hesitant to take overs and maybe just getting in on unders? Because I think it, like, books are haven't fully adjusted as of yet either. And you mentioned the ball. I can't keep track of what ball they're using. Like, three different balls this season. I don't know what the heck is happening, but the power does certainly seem to be down across the board.
Definitely. And it's a little tough with, like you mentioned, the numerous balls. We've seen pitchers. I think Chris Bassett said that it's a different ball every inning, and that makes it super tough to cap. Yeah. And just really a huge headache. One of my favorite bets over the last few years has been the opponent team total against Baltimore. Pretty much as long as John Means isn't on the mound, you can pretty much take the 4.5 and cash it more often than not. So, yeah, I mean, I was on the under there last night. It got kind of sweaty, but it got home. I mean, at this point, it's tough. I think I'm leading off more overs than I am unders just so far this year, and just kind of hoping that we stick with this dead ball. Now, we'll see. Again, when the weather warms up, it gets more humid, the ball carries a little bit better, maybe we'll see the offense come back some. But at this point, I've been kind of trying to stick to mostly unders. And even someone that's usually played a bunch of team total overs, I don't know if I played more than a couple this season.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense. I've been shying away myself as well, and it's something that I used to just, like I said, I was – every slate I looked at, I kind of just, all right, pencil that one in for now and dive into it a little bit later on. All right, so we'll get into Boston here. It's the battle of the colored Sox here tonight between the White Sox and the Red Sox. As you mentioned, I mean, both teams really struggling. You got Boston there at 10-16. I don't know, no real excuses. There haven't been a ton of injuries. I mean, we do know, obviously, we haven't seen Chris Sale and James Paxton yet. Talked a lot about Whitlock here yesterday on the show and what a weapon that guy is. And you and I and George were in the Slack Discord or Slack channel and talking about him as well. But Trevor Story yesterday, 4 strikeouts. They couldn't make any contact against Ohtani. They got their ace on the hill, though, tonight in Nathan Eovaldi. And then the White Sox, there certainly have been some injuries, some issues inside the rotation, a couple slow starts for certain guys as well. I mean, Jose Abreu is one of those guys that's not off to a fantastic start. I do believe he's a great buy low and season long. And then you got Vince Velasquez, known to give up a few long balls in his day as well. What do you make of this matchup here today? And which team do you think is most likely to turn it around?
Yeah, I mean, for the season, both teams have been about equal in terms of hitting right-handed pitching. Boston's 26th with a 79 WRC+, and Chicago's 28th with a 74 WRC+. Now, both offenses have kind of picked it up over the last week or so we'll probably continue to see that. Vince Velasquez is a guy that I've loved fading over the last few years. Now, we'll see if, you know, pitching guru Ethan Katz with the White Sox can kind of turn him around. He's always been someone – Velasquez has always been someone that's had control issues. It's only 17 innings, just over 17 innings this year, but he's expected ERAs in the 12th percentile at 6.23. Sierra looks decent, but when you look at his Savant page, it's pretty much covered in blue. Expected slugging in the bottom 5% of the league, and his barrel rates in the 7th percentile of the league. So I still think, you know, he might be getting bailed out by the new ball as well. I think we've seen a few of those pitchers. But you mentioned Eovaldi's pretty much the Red Sox ace. He's the only guy that Cora really seems to allow to pitch into the 6 or 7. So he's their workhorse. He has a career high K rate at 28%, ERA of 2.51, and a Sierra of 2.57. So I do think he'll pitch pretty well again tonight against the White Sox, who scored the second fewest runs in baseball against righties. So I went ahead and bet the Red Sox on the first 5 run line, minus half a run at minus 115. Since the White Sox do have the bullpen advantage, I wanted to kind of stay away from the full game in case, you know, the Red Sox offense struggles or doesn't get more than a couple off Velasquez. We don't have to deal with the headache that is the Red Sox bullpen. And we saw it, I think it was yesterday. It was a nothing-nothing game going into the 7th or something like that, and ended Red Sox lost like 8-0 or something like that. So they have to move Whitlock to the rotation just because he's been so great, but it really hurts their bullpen.
Yeah, it really does. And again, I brought this up yesterday because I think in most, you know, high stakes leagues, he's been rostered. People, you know, if they didn't draft him as like a weapon late in those deep, deep formats, they certainly picked him up after week 1 or week 2. But in Yahoo, ESPN, CBS leagues, he's been hanging around. And I see his next start. I mean, he is scheduled for another start in a couple of days, but until Chris Sale and James Paxton come back, I mean, they probably just don't really have a choice. But man, that bullpen is absolutely brutal. Matt Barnes, George says, oh, brother, into the sun. And that was the same thing against the Halos the other day. Like, Diekman came in, lefty on lefty matchup. Jared Walsh got him extended to extras. And then they put up like a six spot on basically on Barnes in the 10th there. Trevor Story. George, how does it feel to just be putting up all these nasty Red Sox comments? Like, Trevor Story, is this... Do you feel like he is a buy low candidate? I know we don't have to dive deep into his numbers, but last year away from Coors, dude, he really did struggle. Like, and I remember a couple years ago we talked about Nolan Arenado. We really didn't see the numbers change too much from Arenado. Of course, there's a little bit of a dip, but he was fine in St. Louis. Story last year, you know, his splits were absolutely for real. I do believe he's a really good hitter. They're experimenting with him at the top of the order, which doesn't seem to be working out at the moment. It's been a lot of swing and miss. I know it's cold. There was a shot against Syndergaard where maybe in June and July that is a home run. Maybe. Again, we can talk about the balls until we're blue in the face. But I feel like that could have been a bomb in July. And some of these Red Sox hitters, I'm sure that they'll get right when the weather starts warming up. But are there reasons to be concerned about Trevor Story? Like, if somebody had this guy in a season-long league, you're not dropping him, clearly, but... Would you take anything that you could get for Trevor Story? Or would you be in the conversation to buy low on this guy?
Honestly, I wouldn't be too worried about him yet. You could potentially buy low. I know he'll get some stolen bases. He also missed some time early on. I think he missed some time. He had a birth of a child, and he was also sick for a little bit. So he's only played, what, here? We're talking 21 games. So it is still, I mean, you know, we're mostly dealing with small sample sizes so far this year. But him especially, he's missed a handful of games. So I wouldn't get too worried about him yet. And also, I mean, we're seeing a lot of people struggle, like you said, with the ball. So I don't know. Yeah. I think it's still a little too early to get, totally freaked out.
I would agree. I think, you know, even the best players in baseball have bad months. So we're just a month into the season. I think we could cool and relax. I wanted to call him for a home run, but I typically like to get him in against lefties. So maybe it's Devers that takes, Velasquez deep, but I think you're smart to get in on Boston early and not to mess around with that bullpen. Dude, let's take a quick break. I know there's a couple other games and a couple other picks that you like as well. So keep her locked. Myself and MLB Dream will be back here on Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and MLB Dream here with you. Those hanging out in the chat, you have any questions, any baseball questions, now is the time to kind of get them in. Always circle back before first pitch on the main slate, puck drop in the NHL and tip off in the NBA in case things do change here. You know, there is one game that's officially postponed. My bad, George. We were going to talk a little bit about Gerrit Cole earlier. Got him making some Cole boards for us, but that game is done. You cursed him, George. So no Texas and no Yankees here tonight. There's a couple other games I'm seeing where there's a lot of questionable, like whether these games are going to happen. I mean, it's Max Scherzer day against the Phillies. Some weather there potentially in Baltimore as well. Your guy Jordan Lyles on the bump against Kansas City. Cleveland, Shane Bieber, Kevin Gausman, that's a pretty good, you know, pitching matchup as well. Looks like maybe potential light rain. So keep an eye on absolutely everything. What else do you like on the board here today?
Another bet I made today was the Giants at -121 early this morning. Pitching for the Cardinals is Jordan Hicks. The weird thing with him is I know he was in the bullpen last year for the Cardinals, and for some reason or another, they waited until the end of spring training to announce him as a starter and want him in the rotation. Mm-hmm. So they didn't start stretching him out until much later. He hasn't pitched more than 3.1 innings so far this season. He throws super hard. And we were talking about a guy that throws 100, but he's had issues with control, and he hasn't been getting that many swings and misses. And when he does find the zone, he's been getting barreled pretty hard. And then pitching for the Giants, we have Alex Cobb. Everyone was infatuated with his increased velocity to start the year, including myself. Obviously, the biggest knock with him the past couple of years has been injury concerns, and he did leave a start against the Mets with a growing injury. And I don't think he made it out of the first inning in his first start back with the Giants. There were a couple errors there, and I think only one run was earned. They had a potential to get a triple play to kind of get him out of that first inning, and I think the third baseman threw it away or something like that. But I'm still a big fan of Cobb. He's throwing his splitter about 45% of the time this year, and has a strikeout percentage, K percentage of around 30%. So I'm still pretty high on him. The Giants also have the advantage at the plate as well. They're 11th in WRC versus righties at 108, and St. Louis is, 90. They have a WRC plus of 90 versus righties, so Cardinals are about 10% below league average there as well. And, you know, the bullpen advantage, I know the Giants had a bullpen day yesterday, but nobody had pitched on back-to-back days for them. So they do have the advantage there with a 311 bullpen FIP while the Cardinals come in at a 355.
I like Cobb again. And I mean, he was with the Angels for a minute, and I could see some of the changes when he was with them, right? I mean, the ERA was solid, sub four ERA, XFIP right around the same as well. Like, he did some really good things. And everyone that goes to San Fran just seems to figure it out over there, right? I like that play a lot. You mentioned Hicks. I gave a little bit of love to Hicks at the start of the week. Actually, it might have been the start of last week with the two starts and getting inside the rotation. And I drafted him in spots because I thought maybe he would be the closer. But yeah, you're right. The Cardinals, good on you for letting us know so late late in the offseason that he was actually going to be in the rotation. Do you feel like this is a guy that you'll pick on? What do you think his upside is as a starter? Because again, we haven't really seen it. Like, he's still getting stretched out. But do you feel like he could be a solid number three, or even upside to be a two inside a rotation, or is that asking too much?
I mean, I think three sounds about right. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy that has three career major league starts. So we really don't know if he'll be able to get through a lineup twice. I mean, let alone three times, which not many people are doing anyway. But yeah, with his walk and control issues and just wasting so many pitches early on, I think we'll have to just kind of wait and see. But I mean, he has the stuff. The stuff is nasty. Let's just see if he can get through a lineup without walking three or four guys and wasting a bunch of pitches early is really what it comes down to.
Yeah, his command is spotty. There's no question about that. The other pick that you had on the board of the Astros, I had them last night on the run line. I don't do this run line stuff too much. I see that you do like minus one. But with the Astros, there's a couple teams that I'll get behind, like just to improve the value, like the Astros or the Dodgers. These teams to win by two. So I had Houston last night to beat Detroit by two. They had a 2-0 lead. Ryan Pressly, his first outing since getting activated from the IL, and the guy blew it. And the Astros ended up winning anyways. But I like them today. You clearly like them today too. I feel like I can get involved on the run line again. I mean, I'm a sucker for punishment. I may just get into it. But Luis H. Garcia on the bump, I kind of like that. Talk to me about why you like Houston this evening.
Yeah, for sure. I was with you I had the under last night, so that Pressly blowing the save was, you know, kind of tilting, but luckily that came home. Bo Brisky's making his third career start for the Tigers. He's only pitched 20 innings above A-ball. I know he pitched pretty well against the Dodgers, but he didn't get many swings and misses, and he's not a ground ball pitcher. So the Dodgers made a ton of contact. The Astros don't strike out that much in general, so I expect them to be able to make a bunch of contact and, you know, hopefully find some holes. The Tigers aren't very good versus righties. They're great versus lefties last year, and they still haven't, you know, been that good versus right-handed pitching this year. So I think the Astros obviously have the advantage at the plate as well. Garcia, you know, he was great last year. He got roughed up by the Blue Jays, which we've seen a couple guys, you know, the Blue Jays get to a couple guys. So, but yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm a big fan of him, and I think he's, you know, I don't want to say underrated, but he's definitely not like necessarily a household name yet, and I think he's one of their great arms, really.
Yeah, well said. It does pay me to see the Astros still just continue to get it done. And I do agree with what you said off the top, that they will eventually overtake the division in the AL West. So enjoy it now, Halo fans. There was a question here from Daily Handle, more so about just crab cakes, actually. MLB Dream. What is this, Fadley's? Is it pronounced Fadley's? Isn't the best for crab cakes? Which place is, in your opinion? Jimmy's Seafood? I don't know. I'm assuming you've been down to Camden a few times and maybe checked out some spots. I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that question?
I'll be completely honest. I don't get crab cakes when I go to Camden. I'm a sucker for Boog's Barbecue. So I always get the turkey or the pulled beef. And that's pretty much what I do every time I go down there. I can't risk getting anything else. But I mean, I think it's kind of tough to find a bad crab cake in Baltimore, at least in the Maryland area. If you're getting that big, you know, the true lump crab cake, it's going to be delicious pretty much anywhere you go.
Oh, man, all of a sudden hungry. He says his buddy's always hyping up Fadley's. You have to check it out, the Daily Handle. Go down and watch a game at Baltimore, take the under, and get some crab cakes into you. MLB The Dream, you're fantastic, dude. Like a little sneak peek, we're going to be doing some more stuff together with Frank Brank as well. A little MLB show for you in the future over at ftnbets.com. Good luck tonight with all your plays. Really do appreciate it, dude. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon. We're going to switch gears. We'll talk a little NHL here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. We're going to turn our attention to the ice. There are four games in the NHL today. As I said off the top, the series game threes, we're shifting. We're going to LA. We're going to St. Louis. We're going to Boston. What was that other game? Oh, yeah, Tampa and Toronto. Just kidding. We are going to Tampa Bay. Let's start here with some shot props that I do like for this evening, and there's a ton. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. There's a lot that I like. I'm going to start here with Joel Eriksson Ek. We've had him in the tracker for the first couple of games of this series. I'm actually a really big fan of this guy's play. You know, he's a strong defensive center, but, you know, he did show up in game two offensively. He does have some offensive firepower in his game. He's more known. He's asked to shut down certain guys, and I think he's done a really good job and shutting down the Robert Thomas line. We'll see if they can get that matchup in St. Louis. But I am going with Eriksson Ek through two games. He has 9 shots on goal and 14 shot attempts through the two games. So he's getting a lot of ice time. He plays in all situations, penalty kill, gets a little bit of power play time there as well. He's going to log a lot of ice here tonight for Minnesota. I do believe Kirill the Thrill, Dollar Dollar Bill, Kaprizov is also in play for 3.5 shots. But I just like the 2.5, so that's why I leaned here with Eriksson Ek. Inside the same game, I like David Perron. If you can find Ryan O'Reilly at 1.5, Jordan Kyrou is going to be at plus money at 2.5. I think he's okay as well. But David Perron has been the shooter for the Blues through a couple games here. He does have 6 shots on goal and 9 shot attempts. Andrei Svechnikov does lead Carolina in shot attempts with 12 rather. Easy for me to say. And he's got 7 shots. I also like Sebastian Aho in that same game. I think those are the two Carolina guys. They both cleared in game one and in game two. Those are the Hurricanes guys to roll. But I think we're going to see, and I know Am the Artist is probably like, no, don't go to Boston again, Meanie. Don't do it because they're going to lose. I feel like if the Bruins are going to win a game in this series, it's got to be this one, isn't it? We're going to see some urgency from this Bruins squad on home ice. The series got nasty in game two. It's going back to Boston. They play really good on home ice. I at least think that there's going to be some guys that we can attack for shot attempts. Like, I think Patrice Bergeron's probably the best Bruin to go to. Those that play on Unibet, you can get David Pastrnak at 3.5 at a decent price. But he's 4.5 mostly everywhere else at plus 130. I'm into it. Maybe it's a sucker bet. You know, there's some guys here at 4.5 that we could get behind. Austin Matthews, we had Nathan McKinnon last night at 4.5. Hey, I'm the Artist. Boston is not winning. Carolina's not going to lose a game all playoffs. Boston's not my favorite pick here today. I think that I feel like they'll win this game, but it's not, people say the official picks. It's not what I'm giving you guys. But David Pastrnak is shooting the puck tonight a ton, right? We got him in the last game pretty easily at 3.5. David Pastrnak has 22 shot attempts in two games. 22 shot attempts in two games. Now they're going to get the matchup that they want on home ice. In the later part of the second game, they put the band back together, to the perfection line back together, which hasn't really been a line over the past 3 months. Patrice Bergeron, Marchand, and David Pastrnak. Passes the shooter, top power play time, 22 shot attempts and 13 shots through two games. So I have no problem going to him. Some other guys that I do like for shots, I mentioned Kaprizov. I like Bergeron. I got Aho in there as well. There's no Draisaitl. I didn't give you guys Draisaitl or Kane. I like both of those guys. And if you saw on the board, there's no Adrian Kempe. I just feel like by now, you know, Adrian Kempe is a guy that we want to get involved with from a shot prop standpoint. Again, Unibet seeing the best odds for Adrian Kempe at minus 155. I think that's okay for a single. DraftKings, FanDuel, they got him at minus 180. That's too much. We can't get involved with singles at minus 180. I'd kind of cut it off at minus 155. Even minus 160 is not something that I feel too good about. But if you got to put him into a parlay. Kempe's been so good to us. He's cleared in, I think off the top of my head, 13 of the past 16 games. He's cleared in 3 straight against the Oilers, including game 1 and game 2. He's actually cleared in 4 straight, against the Edmonton Oilers. Now at home, going to get the matchups that they want on home ice. So Kempe at minus 180, put him into a parlay. Put him into a parlay with maybe Pasta at minus 155 at 3.5, and then you can maybe add in Kaprizov or Joel Eriksson Ek or Svechnikov, one of those guys that I gave you. But Kempe and Pasta, I think that makes for a really strong two-leg parlay. But if you want to get more in there, yeah, Kempe, Aho, Kirill from Am the Artist. I do like that one as well. Kempe, Pasta, parlay, absolutely daily handle. That's kind of where I'm at. But those ones that I gave you are solid singles. And then I got some point props here for you because this has been working out for us as well lately. So Patrice Bergeron for a point at minus 135, an assist at plus 180. It's just great value. We've been talking about some of these assist props. You know, Austin Matthews, we've hit in game one and game two, plus 140 for an assist. We've been taking him at plus 115, plus 120, but now the matchup in Tampa Bay, we're getting plus 140. Patrice Bergeron, plus 180. We've had Ovechkin in game one and game two. He was plus 205, and then last night he was plus 190. You know, snipers getting good value with assist props. I like Aho for a point, too. I believe he's at minus 145 for a point, but I think there's a lot of value here for an assist at plus 140. Victor Hedman for an assist at minus 120. Kaprizov at plus 120 for an assist. And Evander Kane, you know, he was quiet in game one, but in game two, he had a big night, minus 145 for a point, and then on the board, plus 170 for an assist as well. Lots of action in the NHL. And a couple more little smaller NHL plays courtesy of Prize Picks. Also going to sprinkle in a couple other plays for you as well. Okay, we'll do it now. We'll do it now. I thought we would maybe do it in the next block, but hold that thought. We do have two more blocks here, George. Let's break a little sneak peek of some plays that I'm feeling for Prize Picks. More picks here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back into Mean Streets here. Chris Meany with you. Going to take a look at prizepicks.com. If you're unfamiliar with prizepicks.com, it's a simple over or under on a player's prop or their fantasy score. You don't have to go perfect. I really like it if you're just going two leg parlays because you can get better odds. Like, for example, if you want to go Kempe and Pastrnak over at PrizePicks, it's going to pay 2-1, where that may only play plus 177 at DraftKings or FanDuel, for an example. So it's really strong if you're just going to do the two legs, but also something else I like, you know, you get the power play and the flex play. You know, with the flex play, you can go 2-for-3 and earn a profit, 3-for-4 and earn a profit. Obviously, it's not going to be as nice of a profit or a return if you go perfect, but you can afford to get one wrong over at prizepicks.com. We have the free pick tracker over at ftnadaily.com, and they offer absolutely everything. All the sports, the big four, PGA, they got NASCAR stuff on there. They may even have Kentucky Derby stuff on there. I'm uncertain. I didn't really look for that this morning, but esports on there as well. Cricket, absolutely everything over at prizepicks.com. Use the promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100% all the way up to $100. And if you refer a friend, you've already signed up, you've used the promo code FTN. If you refer a friend, it's a free $25 in your Prize Picks account. So these are the plays that I'm looking at. And as I said off the top of the show, Gerrit Cole is scratched, so that's good. I actually wanted to just give another sport to show you guys that you can mix and match across all the sports. You could do some same game stuff. We've been looking for same game parlays in the NHL for quite some time. You could take four or five players from the LA Edmonton game if you wanted. Kempe, Iafallo, you got Draisaitl, you got McDavid, you got Kane. You could take them all. You just have to, you can't take five guys or four guys from one team. You just have to have, you know, another player from a different team. So, you know, when Florida and Washington play tomorrow, game three, boom, hammer all the guys. Like, it's a way that you can kind of get unique with some of your pick entries. So I got Braden Point on here. Braden Point showed up in game two. He's got 11 shot attempts and 8 shots through two games. He's also 2.5 in other spots for plus money, but here you can get the push, right? Two is nice. Maybe you go 3-for-4 here, you get the push, but I do think that he can get to three shots. I mentioned Adrian Kempe in the other segment. So Adrian Kempe, 17 shot attempts and 11 shots through two games. That leads LA. Number two on the Kings is Alex Iafallo. He's got 12 shot attempts through two games, and he's got 9 shots on goal. I also like him from a DraftKings standpoint at plus money for 2.5 shots, but he's playing with Philip Deneau on that second line. Deneau is one of the best defensive players in the entire league. All he does is generate offense when he is on the ice, no matter who he's up against. Alex Iafallo has stood out to me through the first two games of this series. I like him over 2.5 shots. So you cross off Gerrit Cole, and maybe you want to put in Devin Booker over 25.5 points. We'll get to him in the next block. I got Tony DeAngelo there at over 2 shots. So Tony DeAngelo, he only has 4 shots through two games, but he does have 11 shot attempts for the Carolina Hurricanes, a big volume shooter on the back end. And the Hurricanes get a lot of offense from their blue line as well. So have some fun with Prize Picks. We got a link inside the description of this video bringing you to the pick tracker as well as just prizepicks.com. Make sure you use that promo code FTN. All right, I got an NBA same game parlay for you. One more pick segment here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Two games on the hardcore. I'm going to focus in on the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. I do believe that the Mavs may win this game, but I'm certainly tempted to take the Suns on the money line considering the odds that you're going to get. But I have a same game parlay from Bet365. Those north of the border can get in on this. So there's a couple things I want to talk about with this same game parlay. So if you're taking a look at Bet365 and you get to the point section, there's a low and a high and just a medium point. So this is the low. It's a little bit conservative. It pays 7-1. You got the low there for Chris Paul at 13.5 points. It's something that he's done in 7 games here in the playoffs. Luka Doncic at 27.5. That's the low. His point prop is at 33.5, and he's averaging 33 points in the playoffs. Only one other player, by the way, has averaged 33 points in the playoffs, and we all know who that is. It's the GOAT, Michael Jordan. But Devin Booker in there, that's the low at 20.5 points as well. His point prop is at 26.5, which I do believe he'll get over. And then we have just the normal props here. He got Chris Paul over 4.5 rebounds. Chris Paul has had over 4.5 rebounds in 4 straight games, both games here against the Mavs in the series. Devin Booker over 2.5 threes. I just think this is too low. Devin Booker's first 2 games from beyond the arc, 4-8, 7-11, then 1-6. He left with an injury. Then his first game back in game 1 due to an injury, he struggled to shoot from the floor. He was only 7-20. He only ended up with 23 points, and he was 1-5 from beyond the arc. Last game, game 2, was more like Devin Booker. He was 11-19 from the floor, and he was 5-8 from beyond the arc, and he got 30 points. So Devin Booker over those threes, and then Luka Doncic over, like, are you over 3.5 threes? Are you kidding me? We're not going to take this for Luka. It's actually a pretty good price at -135. Luka has had at least 3 threes in every game, and he's had at least 4 in 4 of his 5, and he's taken at least 10 shots from beyond the arc in every single postseason game. So if he's going to take 10 shots from beyond the arc, I have a feeling Luka's going to hit at least 4 of them. So that pays 7-1 over at bet365. If you just wanted to do the normal points, Devin Booker 26.5, Chris Paul 17.5 points, and Luka over 33.5, that would pay 20-1. So you have a conservative way to go about things, or just maybe a little bit more of an aggressive way with a bigger payout. I like the conservative way, 7-1. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to hang out. Have a fantastic Friday night, a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Cheers.